Our Old Testament scripture lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. The servant of the Lord. Here's my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. In our New Testament reading, which I'm sure about today, is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as well." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A genie told a man, "I'll give you 3 wishes. Whatever I do for you, however, I must do twice as much for your worst enemy." Well, the man thought about it and about how horrible his worst enemy had been to him. And he finally decided on his 3 wishes. First, he wished for $1 billion. He received $1 billion. His worst enemy got $2 billion. Then he wished for a lavish mansion on a rugged coast. He received his mansion, but his enemy got one twice as large. And finally, he wished to be beaten half to death. Now, in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells a story about a man who was beaten half to death. So, see, there was a connection. The story of the Good Samaritan is probably one of the most well-known in the Bible, and yet it is only found in the Gospel of Luke. And it's one of the first stories of Jesus' teachings that we share with children as we are teaching them what Jesus is all about. And that's probably because it's very easy to understand. And it's pretty self-contained as opposed to some of the other parables where you have to draw, you know, there's a lot of conclusions you can draw and you have to really think about it. But I don't want us to think that because we know the story well, that we don't really think about it. And so I want us to come at it from different perspectives today. When reading the parable, with what character or characters do you most identify? And the answer to that question is going to color the messages that you draw from the story. Say, do you maybe identify with the priest or the Levite? Well, if so, that probably causes you a lot of guilt, because we know of Jesus' teaching, "I was hungry and you fed me." Jesus tells us, he will say to us on the day of judgment, "Or I was hungry and you didn't feed me." The difference, of course, is that what you did or what you didn't do to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did or did not do to me. If you're going to identify with the priest and the Levite, you might as well go all the way and identify with the robbers, because they treated him just as badly. People who didn't just reject the man by the side of the road, but actually put him there. But is there much difference, really? The victim ends up stripped, beaten, and deserted, left half dead. Or perhaps you relate to the innkeeper, willing to take responsibility for the care of someone in need. I mean, a lot of us have done that sort of thing at one time or another, haven't we? And maybe without getting paid for it either, like the innkeeper did. I mean, at least the innkeeper comes off a whole lot better off than the priest and the Levite and the robbers. He's on the positive side of the equation, willing to help when the opportunity presents itself. And I have to say that in the short time I have been here, I see that quality in you all in abundance. You have always been ready to help. You have always been willing to reach out not only to the members of our church family, but the community at large. And I think that's a wonderful quality. And I think that's the sign of what makes a healthy church. And I am very appreciative of you for all that you do for this community and for me, for the guys that have come over and helped put furniture together, who have taken away cardboard to the recycling center. I mean, there's just been so much that you all have helped me with. So I don't see you as the priest or the Levite, and definitely not the robbers. Now, as long as we're looking at different perspectives here, how about the donkey? The Samaritan donkey, he doesn't have a big role in the story, but he does fill an important role. He was given a job to do, carrying a burden, and the donkey did it. I mean, let's face it, we know donkeys can be stubborn. I have a Scotty who can be just as stubborn. But this donkey, this beast of burden, did the task for which it was created. And this one job, he did without any apparent stubbornness. Or maybe you identify with the victim, the condition in which he finds himself on the side of the road is sort of like the condition we sinners find ourselves when we seek to deal with our God. We are stripped of any supposed goodness, beaten down by our guilt, and left in a condition of being half dead to sin. So in that case, does Jesus become the Good Samaritan? He does fit the role rather well. From the human point of view, Jesus is a foreigner and quite unlike us. He is, the Bible says, despised and rejected by the likes of us. He is one from whom we hide our faces and seek to avoid, the way the Jews felt about the Samaritans. But that's the way their descendants, the Israelis and the Palestinians, still feel about one another after all these centuries. Of all the people who passed by on the road, Jesus' listeners knew that the Samaritan was the least likely to be singled out to have the word good applied to him by anyone Jewish. It is interesting that at the end of the story, when Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?" the Jewish man who was answering Jesus' question still couldn't even bring himself to use the word Samaritan, but instead skirted around the subject, saying, "The one who showed mercy." Well, the one who showed mercy is the one we have so often and so consciously avoided, the one whose name we are sometimes embarrassed to say out loud, Jesus Christ. He is the one who confronts us on the Lenten road with help and healing, providing for us richly out of his own resources, and promising to do more if the need arises. It appears that where we belong in the parable, along this Lenten road at least, is as the victim, helpless to help ourselves, but helped by the one who takes the time to stop and care. "Follow me," he says as he leads us down the Jericho road. It may be at times all we can do is accept the transportation he provides on this Lenten road. But then again, maybe we should learn from him by his example to become the sort of neighbor he proved to be for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.